So often when we think of our Christian religion, we think of it relative to, you know, our mind and our heart. And it's the right thing to do. I mean, as you go through the scriptures, you hear, and as we begin the season of Lent, rend your hearts, not your garments. And we hear Jesus telling people, a humble, contrite heart I will not spurn. I don't want your sacrifices. I want a humble, contrite heart. And so we think many times, okay, it's about our heart, and then we talk about faith. You know, when we give assent to this and we give assent to that. And yet as we look at the last couple of weeks, we begin to realize that it's not just about matters of the heart. It's not just about the mind. It's also about the external reality of who we are as Christians. Because even this week, you know, the people, John the Baptizer sent his disciples because John's in prison. And he's wondering to himself, you know, was my life in vain? I would really like to know if this is the Messiah, if this is the one I've been preparing the way for. So he says, well, there's one simple way to do it. I'll send my disciples, and they'll just flat out ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And you'll notice, Jesus doesn't give him an answer of yes or no. He says to them, look at the evidence. Look about you. What do you see? What do you hear? And he goes through that idea of the blind are seeing, the lame go, etc. The poor have the good news preached to them. So he says, no, you can see it. There's empirical data out here, folks. Look. It's not just, okay, I think the kingdom is here. He says, no, it manifests itself. And even last week, you know, John again, he's after the Pharisees and the religious leaders. You know, they're coming. And what does he challenge them to do? Give some evidence that you mean to repent. Don't tell me Abraham is our father. And, you know, in my priesthood, I've essentially heard that a lot. You know, couples come in, you know, they have their children baptized, or they come in and they want to get married, et cetera, et cetera. And we start talking about faith, and they say, well, you know, my grandma was a really, really, you know, fervent Catholic. My parents were Catholic. Well, I don't care, in a sense, about their grandparents or their parents. I want to know what you do when it comes to faith. So Jesus said, don't tell me Abraham was your father. That doesn't do anything for me. Give some evidence that you mean to repent. Because when we talk about that, rend your heart, not your garments, it has to manifest itself somehow in an external form. That's who we are as Christians. And we go through, you know, Matthew's gospel, the parable of the final judgment. Jesus isn't talking about, you know, did you believe in transubstantiation? Did you believe in the hypostatic union? Do you believe that the Son is consubstantial with the Father, as it says in the Creed? I mean, that's all stuff up here, and it's good. You know, we need to understand that, but that's not what Jesus asked. He said, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me something to drink? When I was naked, did you clothe me? Poor, in prison, sick, did you come to visit me? See, that's it. Our faith, yes, our minds and our heart, but it has to manifest itself externally. Give some evidence that you mean to repent. And Jesus used that today. He says, no, I don't have to say yes or no. Just take a look around you. The evidence is there. It proves the kingdom of God is at hand. And I still remember, and it comes back so often in my mind, that one of our retreat masters once, when we were talking about, you know, the idea so often we think of our faith as, well, it's sort of a private thing. It's a matter of my heart and my mind. And in one sense, yes, it is. But the struggle is, how do we move it from our minds and our hearts to actions? And he asked a very interesting question, and I've mentioned it before. And it's pretty simple. Somebody dragged you into court. Is there enough evidence to prove that you're a Christian? Do you do enough things so they can look at you and say, that person's a Christian? Because when Jesus, they ask him, well, how are we going to know that people are my disciples? He didn't say, well, it's because they understand transubstantiation. He didn't say that. He said, this is how they love one another. How they feed the hungry, how they clothe the naked, how they give drink to the thirsty. That's a very tough question. Is there enough evidence? And this is stuff, again, on the outside. How does that faith that we have in our hearts and in our minds manifest itself in the real world? How does it manifest itself in good works? Because even last Sunday, he goes on to tell them, you know, you got to bear good fruit. Because if a tree doesn't bear good fruit, they're going to chop it down and throw it away. This is how you know it's a good tree. By looking at its fruit. And it's the same with us. How do you know we're good Christians? By looking at the fruit that we bear. So, our religion is not just about, you know, what I believe up here, or it's in my heart. Again, that's very much a part of it. You know, a humble, contrite heart, I will not spurn. But it can't stay up here, and it can't stay here. It has to manifest itself out there. It has to be empirically verifiable. People have to see that we act on our belief. It's not just enough to say, well, I'm a Christian. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? It's a very, very challenging question. If they drag you into court and they accuse you of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you?